This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Sunshine,
follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Train whistles blow and guitars play. Preachers preach, farmers plow. Wishes go up and the world goes round. And I...
We have breaking news this hour. Matt Gaetz is stepping down from his nomination to Attorney General of the United States. Many said this was the most contentious of the nominations made by former President Trump. And he has announced categorically that he will not be seeking confirmation to the post of Attorney General. Here are his words. I had an excellent meeting with senators yesterday. I appreciate their thoughtful feedback and the incredible support of so many. While the momentum was strong, it is clear that my confirmation was unfairly becoming a distraction to the critical work of the Trump fans' transition. There's no time to waste on a needlessly protracted Washington scuffle. Thus, I'll be withdrawing my name from consideration to serve as Attorney General. Trump's DOJ must be in place and ready on day one. I remain fully committed to seeing that Donald J. Trump is the most successful president in history.
We, the people of the United States,
Form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm going to say I was skeptical that Matt Gaetz was ever going to make it to the confirmation hearing. I didn't think it would happen this fast, but Matt Gaetz withdraws his name from consideration for the attorney general position. And the big question that I have right now, he resigned from Congress the day he was nominated. But there's some question over, did he resign from the current Congress? He got elected to the next Congress. What are Matt Gaetz's options going forward?
Well, my understanding is that he resigned from his position in the current Congress, which would not affect his reelection. And if he wants to, he can obviously take his seat on January 3rd when the new Congress starts its new session. So, and unless I'm wrong about that, and I don't think I am, that's it. He only resigned his current position in Congress.
Yeah. I feel like whatever is going on here surrounding this appointment is some level of chess that I am not equipped to understand. But the attorney general position, it's a very big one. You know a lot about this from having worked in the Department of Justice. Let's set aside the Matt Gaetz component of this, because in his withdrawing of his name, he essentially said, I'm becoming too much of a distraction for this transition team, so I'm taking my name out. When you see the attorney general, whomever it might be that's appointed here next, what is it that you're quickly hoping that they are going to do once they are confirmed into that position?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, I would look for two things in whoever Trump is picking. One, you want somebody hardcore and tough. And second, you want someone who has hopefully previous experience inside DOJ, who knows how the place is organized, where all the bones are buried, and understands the kind of changes that need to be made and needs to be very tough, because no matter what they do, even though it'll be best for the department, best for Americans, they are going to get relentlessly attacked by the left, by their friends in the media. In fact, I'd be willing to bet you that of all the cabinet picks that the president has made, the person who will get the most criticism after he or she gets in and starts operating will be the new attorney general.
There's a lot of responsibility that you have as the attorney general of the United States. And so I think that the vetting and the confirmation process is an important one, that you want to make sure that the person who goes in there is the appropriate man or woman for the job. I don't know if there's like a rubric for how senators choose to vote to support or not to support. I listed off, it was like 20 senators that were Republicans who voted to approve Merrick Garland. And I can imagine that they have those Republican senators. Some of them are not in the Senate any longer, but I'd imagine that some of those senators haven't approved of what Merrick Garland has done over time. What should a senator consider when they're voting to confirm or not confirm?
They need to understand, and this was until recent decades, this was the attitude generally of the Senate, was that as long as the person had the professional qualifications needed to do the job, they would bow to the president's prerogative of choosing the person that he wanted in that position. As you know, that basically has gone out the window, particularly with Democrats who have put in obstructionist tactics, so that even if somebody is qualified, they'll vote against them if they believe they don't have the right ideological view on different matters. And that's what the Republican senators need to do. The president should be able to pick who he wants to be the head of a department. And really, the only thing they should look at is, well, does the person have the professional qualifications to be the attorney general? And look, the easiest way to look at that is you obviously would not want to pick, for example, an actor who's not a lawyer with no legal experience. OK, that's a question of qualifications. But people who are lawyers, who have had good experience, and have the qualifications, they should get confirmed, even if a senator perhaps doesn't like the policy position that the nominee has taken on some particular issue.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I'd like to resurface it again because it's a topic of conversation that continues to come up regarding recess appointments. The way those recess appointments come into play, it seemed like, I'll be curious to see how much the recess appointment conversation dies down now that Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name, because that seemed to get elevated when Matt Gaetz, when he was appointed to be the attorney general, or nominated, I should say. Are recess appointments usual in any presidency circumstantially? or is there a reason why it would be unconstitutional at all for President Trump to encourage and for the Senate to go through with agreeing to allow these any of these people that have been nominated to be confirmed through recess appointment?
Look, the ability of a president to make a recess appointment is outlined in the Constitution. And presidents put in recess appointments for more than 200 years of our history without anybody questioning their legitimacy. And that was both Republican and Democratic presidents. It wasn't until Harry Reid, you know, the former Democratic majority leader from Nevada, decided he was just going to stop that practice in his entirety and put in a procedure in the United States Senate that they would never go into recess, even though we both know they actually are in recess. And what he did was say every 3 days the Senate will reconvene, even if nobody's in town. And all they do is they have one senator come in. He gavels the Senate into session. They do no business. He then gavels them out. It is a fake session. And by doing that, he prevents recess appointments because the Supreme Court has said the Senate has to be out for at least 10 days before a president can make a recess appointment. This is going to be the real test of Senator Thune, right? The new majority leader of the Republicans. Is he going to end these fake sessions and go back to the normal practice that we had for over 200 years of the Senate actually going into a recess so that a president can make those kinds of appointments while the regular nominations are pending before the Senate?
It kind of leads me into a question I hadn't really prepared to ask you, but it seems like this entire Donald Trump second term, and I don't think there is any way that any of this would have been possible if he would have gotten a consecutive second term, because people appreciate Donald Trump now in a way that they wouldn't have in 2020 if he would have been reelected. But the amount of reform that looks like it could potentially take place, that's kind of the commitment that the Trump campaign made when they got reelected. Specifically with the way Congress works or the judiciary, all of that, are there any particular reforms that you were looking to see happen the most?
Well, the president's got to make a lot of changes inside the executive branch. And the way to do that is to bring in rebels. And are the people he's been talking about. And what does that require? That requires the United States Senate to go back to its regular order of holding hearings and getting people confirmed really quickly and not delaying confirmations for 6 months, a year and a half, and which is what has happened there. And that requires the cooperation of the Senate. It requires the Senate to, like I said, end the provisions it put in place to prevent recess appointments so that these people can get in immediately, start working, and have their regular nominations being processed by the Senate. Then those are very key changes that need to be made so that Trump can get to work.
We're speaking with senior legal fellow from the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky. Last thought, kind of concept that we were talking a little bit about off the air. The three of us here on this show were all in our early 40s. We were born during the Reagan administration. I was born particularly in 1984. And, you know, I made the comment here in the studio off air that the next, maybe even the first six months of Donald Trump's presidency may be the most transformative version of government that we've ever lived through in our lifetime. If a lot of these commitments that the Trump campaign is making, you know, even day one type of stuff, the commitment to reopen the Keystone XL pipeline on day one, Donald Trump has made the commitment to do that as well. Can you compare what we might be about to see with the commitments that are being made to the electorate to get Donald Trump to be back in office? Is this going to be a pretty transformative time?
Yes, if he gets the people in he wants, and if they fulfill the promises they're making. I think you're absolutely right. This could be one of the most transformative times for the federal government, frankly, in my lifetime. Yeah, Ronald Reagan did a lot, but the federal government since then has gotten exponentially worse, and Trump really, really wants to change that, and he's setting out to do it.
Well, I always think of Barack Obama saying he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and this could be quite the reset, going back into the idea of smaller government in expenditure, in regulations, and all of it. It's going to be really quite something to take in. And Hans, we're appreciative of
it.
The Matt Gaetz stuff today was wild, and I was so happy that we were going to have you on to walk us down that road. So thanks for being with us again today.
Sure thing. Always happy to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC Commissioner and DOJ lawyer. I love talking to Hans. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Weekends America. I don't know if you were listening to the show yesterday at the end of the show. Unfortunately, I was listening to the show yesterday at the end of the show. And I asked Ryan a very simple question. And I have admitted to my superiors here as well that it was about 2:48, and I'd run out of things to talk about. So I just looked at Ryan in the moment and said, hey, anything big on your Christmas list? And that dude says a bidet. That's what he came up with yesterday. He said he wants a bidet. So Wiggins America today, he's taking this one all the way home. Six reasons that you need a bidet. Next. Please don't change the channel. We'll be right back.
Tumbleweeds roll and the stars shine.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.